Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
Well, friends, we are in a series about finances, and we talk at Money Talks. And once a year, we try to bring a practical subject of money, of finance, and teach on this subject. You know, Jesus spoke about finances a lot. It was one of his biggest subjects. He talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell. So it's actually very significant. And we all have to deal with money. We all have to deal with the issue of finances in our own lives. But a few weeks ago, we had a special guest from New Zealand. His name was Pastor Steve Graham. And he brought this subject that actually touched a nerve in my own life, in my own journey, my own story. He talked about a poverty mindset, a poverty mentality, or a poverty spirit. I have heard teaching on the poverty mindset, poverty mentality, poverty spirit before, but somehow on this occasion, God really spoke to me, and he touched on something that was actually very deep inside in my soul. And I actually made a confession on that day that I will deal with this in my own life. And there may be people in the house tonight that are going through a similar journey in your own life. There is many different cultures represented in our church. We have about, 25 different nations represented in our church. And many of us actually have gone through a journey of a poverty, or a background that came from extreme poverty. And I believe that unless we actually defeat this in our own lives, we would not be able to really fulfill what God has planned for each and every one of us. So it felt like God actually touched on something very sensitive in my soul, and I became very vulnerable before God about this. And oftentimes when we speak about finances, there is a touchy spot in our lives that gets uncovered. Do you feel like that? Sometimes when we talk about money, it's like there is some part of you saying like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. And that's what happened to me, actually. Let me tell you just a bit of my story. A year ago, I went with my dad to a high school reunion. It was his high school reunion after 65 years of graduating high school. So it's a lot of years. My dad is over 80. And so I was his personal driver. We went to the city of Szeged in southern Hungary. And he showed me the place where he went to school, obviously. And then we had halászlé in one of the best csárdás in Szeged. And it was all beautiful. I think about 10 of his classmates are still alive. So it was actually a beautiful day. But we also went to the building where he lived. And it actually dawned on me that this building was an orphanage. Now, I knew that my grandmother, my father's mom, she died when my dad was about 10. So I knew that my dad actually grew up without his mom. But only when I came to this building and he showed me the rooms where he lived and the classrooms and the different parts of this building, that it actually dawned on me that my dad lived as an orphan, as a partial orphan, for most of his life. And then last year, my grandmother died, my mom's mother, at the age of 94, which is a beautiful age, and she was a woman of God. But also in her own story, her mom died when she was about 10 or 12. And suddenly, as I was reliving the history of my own family, I discovered that there is an orphan type of mentality, an orphan type of spirit that I had to deal with in my own life. You know, I don't have a trauma from this. I had a happy life. I've had a satisfied, happy childhood. But actually, for a long time in my own family, we lived a poverty type of a life as a family. I didn't know about it because I didn't know any other life, but we were actually a poor family. when I was 18, communism in this country, in this part of the world, fell, and God opened the door for me to go into America for 3 years for Bible college. And just to illustrate, my family was so poor that I could not go with new clothes. The only thing, my mom saved up money and she brought me a brand new suit. It was a three-piece suit, and I was in the plane in a three-piece suit. Hallelujah. You know, probably the only guy in the plane with a suit on. Back, not in the business class, but back in the second class. I had $200, which I thought it was so much money, it's going to last me for 3 years. And my parents, they could not even buy me, you know, new socks, new underwear. Actually, my mom had to fix up my socks. We were so poor. It sounds weird now, but, you know, so many years ago, that's what it was like. My family was serving the Lord, and they lived sacrificially. They moved to different places as pastors, and they gave up a lot of comfort, and at a certain point, they also gave up an apartment just to be used by God and just to serve. And somehow, when all of these experiences came back to my mind, I had to deal with a poverty mindset. And in connection to last year's experiences, I had to deal with an orphan spirit. And I had to pray and come against it in my own journey, in my own mentality, and in my own heart. At the same time, I want to say that I consider myself incredibly wealthy. I have a huge heritage, and both in my life and in Martha's life, our families are serving the Lord. We have received an incredible spiritual heritage on both sides of our families. I consider myself incredibly wealthy. Also, after 26 years of marriage, I am incredibly wealthy. I have a beautiful wife, and God gave us three amazing sons. I'm incredibly wealthy. I even have a grandson. Hallelujah. I own a house, a beautiful house. It will be paid off in a few years. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to celebrate that. I'm going to have a burning ceremony. I'm going to burn the mortgage certificate. And I have a dream job. I get to do this. I consider myself incredibly wealthy. So, there was one funny memory that came to my mind as I was preparing for this, and it was our own marriage ceremony 26 years ago. The pastor who was doing the ceremony, he had a sermon, he had a message from Matthew chapter 6. Now, I've done a lot of weddings, more than 200 weddings, but I've never preached on this on a wedding. It was a message on money. He says, don't worry about the material things, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, because God knows all these things, and he's going to take care of you. You know the passage, right, in Matthew chapter 6. He spoke that, he preached that on our wedding. A very unusual passage for a wedding. And you know, looking back, I'm thinking, why did he preach that on our wedding? Why did you have to give us this word, Jesus, early on in our marriage? You know, oftentimes we have to go back to that scripture and trust God for every single breakthrough in our own financial journey. We have to go back to that prophetic message early on in our marriage, early on where we were making our wives our vows before God, and we had to actually go back to that passage and saying, God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to trust you. There are a couple of scriptures that have provoked me in this, and we're going to break that poverty mindset today, I believe, in our lives. And here are some of the scriptures. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. These are still not the scripture for the message today. This is just in a way of introduction. But Proverbs 10, 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." New International Version says, "It brings wealth." The blessing of the Lord actually brings wealth. Yeah. So there is a sign of God's blessing that is material in our own lives, right? So if we're dealing with a poverty mindset, this is quite revealing, and it's actually very powerful. Here is another one, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. God says to the Israelites, the second generation of those who came out of Egypt, he said, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced, have achieved this wealth. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful." NIV says, "It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." So God is saying, you know, do not say that you have become wealthy or rich because of your own strategy or resource. It is God who gives you the ability to create wealth. Amen? He is the provider. He's the one who is giving you the cleverness or the wisdom, the ability, the creativity to produce wealth. And here's another one, Proverbs 22, verse 4. "Humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life." Riches, honor, and long life. So obviously God has that for you. Can you receive that? Can you accept that? Do you receive that in Jesus' name? Amen? Amen. So I'm talking about the poverty mindset today and how to break the poverty mindset. And I have this message tonight that I have simply called the Macedonian example. The Macedonian example. And I'm gonna explain what I mean by that. I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read that together. "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving." Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of the background here, and then I have a couple of points that I want to talk about tonight. Now, there was an offering. There was a fundraising campaign that Paul is talking about here. It was for the church in Jerusalem. You know that the Jerusalem church was the birthbed of Christianity. This is where the first church was originated on the day of Pentecost. But at the same time, this church was full of poverty. There was a lot of poor Christians in the Jerusalem church. So Paul was organizing a campaign, a fundraising campaign for the church in Jerusalem. And he is fundraising for Jerusalem in Corinth. We've been just reading from the letter to Corinthians. Now, Corinth was a wealthy city. It was a city in Greece, a commercial city, and the church in Corinth was obviously well off. And now Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth to actually give for the church in Jerusalem. And what he is doing, he is encouraging them by showing them the example of the churches in Macedonia. There were quite a few churches in Macedonia, we know, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, and in Berea. Those churches were going through persecution and hardships and trials, but they still gave. So Paul is encouraging this church in Corinth, hey, I want to encourage you to give to this cause, and hey, look what the Macedonians did. We know from other letters, from 1 Thessalonians, that the Macedonian churches were actually going through a hard time themselves. He says, you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying to this, the Macedonian churches in Thessalonica, saying you went through a lot of persecution and suffering. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he tells them, you suffered from your own people. So these guys, they were doing really bad. They suffered, they were persecuted, but they still were incredibly generous. Now, you know, this really puzzled me. And so I'm going to take you through the passage we just read. And I want to show you a couple of things that break the poverty mindset in our lives. Are you ready for this, church? Yes. Okay, so here's number one. Generosity is an overflow of a joyful heart. Let's say this together. Generosity is an overflow of a joyful heart. Now, we read that their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, these are Christians that went through a lot. They were persecuted, they were hated, and they were poor. But they still became generous. How come? You know, I find that there are people that are maybe poor or they are in poverty, but they are spiritually alive and joyful and still generous. Yeah. Then there is other people who have everything, but they're still stingy and they are not generous. How come? Now, these guys, they went through extreme poverty and they overcame the mentality mindset. Now, here's my definition of generosity. Generosity is the mindset where you may be poor financially, but you are acting as if you are wealthy. You are behaving, you're thinking, you are giving as if you were wealthy. That's generosity mindset. Amen? Anybody wealthy here? Come on. We, you know, you maybe as a student or maybe as an international person coming to Budapest, moving to this part of the world, maybe you don't have a lot in your bank account, but in your heart, you have a wealthy mindset. So these guys, they had a lot from everything. Look at this. They had a lot of joy. They have a lot of poverty. And they had a lot of persecution, and they also had a lot of generosity. I love this. They were kind of the extreme church, a lot of everything. But here's the key. Joy is the key. If there is an overflowing joy in your heart, generosity will be just an expression of the joy. Now, I want to say that objectively, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, on your worst day, you are better off than anyone without Jesus on their best day. Can I say that again? If you have Jesus in your heart, on your worst day, you are better off than any person who does not have Jesus on their best day. So we have every reason to have joy. Come on, guys. Every reason to have joy. And that joy overflows through us through generosity. That is what the Bible says, that the overflowing joy in their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Joy is the true key in our giving. If you're bubbling up with joy, if there is that happiness, that positive spirit inside of you, generosity will be just a normal expression of that. You know, in our culture, it is so easy to be negative. It's so easy to be pessimistic about the future. It's so easy to be complaining about everything. Come on. It's like part of it's our national sport. It's part of our culture. We complain. It's like, I've made it my hobby when I'm in a restaurant to make the waiters happy. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. The waiters, they come to your table and they are like depressing. They should be happy to see me at the table, right? I'm a good customer, come on. So on a few occasions, I've called the waiter and I said, hey, if you're going to smile, I'm actually going to pay you a tip. And I was like, sometimes we have this competition with the people we are at the table with, like, I bet by the time we leave, this guy is going to be making jokes with us. And for the 1 hour, I'm teasing the person. It's our national sport to be depressing. Come on. Central Europe, huh? The 40 years of communism have left a lasting imprint on this part of the world. And then we have the personal stories. Then we have the temperament. And then we have the mentality of a nation. But hey, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have every reason to celebrate. You have every reason to be happy. Every reason to rejoice. Come on. And that overflows from your life through generosity. So that's number one. Generosity is an overflow of a joyful heart. Here's number two. God is pleased when we break the limits in giving. Yeah, let's say this together. God is pleased when we break the limits in giving. See, Paul compliments them. He talks about the Macedonians and he says, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. I love this. He says, they gave so much according to their abilities. But then he pauses and he's like, I think they actually gave more beyond their ability. They broke the limits. They were extravagant in their giving. Now, when we give out of joy, that's generosity. Yeah, you're happy, you give because you have Jesus in your heart, you celebrate, you're happy. But when you give beyond your ability, that's when you give by faith. That's another level. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, when you give because you are happy, because you celebrate Jesus, that's generosity, eh? You love Jesus, you have joy in your heart, you love to bless people, you love to bless Jesus, you love to bless the church. But when you give beyond, that takes faith. Now, we don't live by emotion, amen? We live by faith. And so God is pleased when we break the limits in our giving. He is pleased when we actually step out in faith and actually do something that is beyond our comfort zone. There were a couple of stories in our own lives when we decided to do something crazy in our own journey, in our own life. And actually twice throughout our marriage, we actually gave our car to someone. And it was a big step for us because we ended up with having no car, at least in one of those occasions. But, you know, it was a response to a miracle God did a long time ago. My first car was given to me. I'm going to tell you the story. I was graduating from Bible college in America. And as we had graduation, one of my classmates, she came to me and she says, "Can I pray for you, Miro?" And I said, "Of course." And so she was praying for me. And then she says, "I have this picture, like a prophetic picture. I see a car and it's red." Now, when you talk to a young man and you tell him, "I see a car and it's red," what is the brand that comes to your mind? Help me out. Oh, thank you. Some people of faith in the house. What was that? Can I hear that again? Ferrari. Yeah. So I came home. And actually, that summer, there was a man who came to my parents' place. And he said, my dad was a pastor. And he says, "Pastor, God spoke to me and I want to buy you a car." And so that's what he did. He went to a used car dealership and he bought him one of those 1991 Skodas, 120. Skoda 120, come on, yeah? Some of you have to Google it. Google it. It doesn't exist anymore. It's in the museum only. And I inherited his old car, which was like 1980 Skoda. And it was red. It was red. That was my Ferrari. And you know, I was planting my first church in that time, and I would take the young people, and that car would break down. And that was the reason I was taking young people with me all the time, so they could push the car. Twice I actually had the wheel fall off. Come on. And that was my first car. So the first car was given to me by prophecy. So we decided that we would actually do that with our used cars, and twice we did that. That's when you, for us, that's when you break the limits in giving. That's when you do something that's not comfortable for you. Yeah, God is pleased when we break the limits in giving. Faith is about stepping out of the comfort zone, and you do something that's beyond the ability that you can do. And these guys in Macedonia, they gave in proportion to their abilities, but they also gave beyond. They also gave beyond. So I want to encourage you, trust God and do something special. Go beyond. Step out of the comfort zone. Don't just give because of the joy inside of you. Also give with faith. Okay, ready? Here's number three. Giving is a privilege. Can we say this together? Giving is a privilege. And this is what Paul says about the Macedonians. He says, "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service." I love this. These Macedonians, the church in Macedonia, they were asking Paul, "Paul, please, can we have the privilege of contributing?" This is amazing. They were in poverty, but they considered giving a privilege. That's an unbelievable attitude. Giving is a privilege. There is very little things that make you more like God than giving. Toby just read the scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave. Giving is one of those things that make you like God, where you follow in His footprints. That's why it is a privilege. The word used here is grace. Sharing in this grace of giving. And it could also be translated as graciousness or gracefulness or elegance or charm. Generosity of spirit. This is when giving for you is not just some kind of a Christian routine or a religious act of service, but you actually says, I want to be more like Jesus. This is a privilege that I can actually share. I can give and be more like Him. So in the first point, it was because of joy. In the second point, it was because of faith. In this point, it's actually you give because you want to be more like Jesus. Because it's a privilege. Because it's actually grace. It's when you give with a kingdom-like mentality. It's for the kingdom of God. I'm actually a part of this work of God on this earth called the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you a secret. You have everything that you need for everything that you need to do. Can you believe that? You have everything you need for everything that you need to do. God is giving you, providing you with everything you need for everything you need to do. There is an overflow. There is an abundance. There is a richness of His blessing in your life. And you can never outgive God in what He gives to you. And that's why you serve and you give out of grace. So, in the first point, we said you give out of joy. In the second one, you give out of faith. Here, you give out of grace. And finally, number four. this is what it says. We first give ourselves to the Lord. That's the final principle. We first give ourselves to the Lord. In verse 5, we read, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then by the will of God also to us. You know, we've been singing this. We actually sing it many times. I surrender. I give you all, Jesus. I give you my life. I lay down my life. Do you sing things like that? Yeah. And so Paul is telling them, well, these Macedonians, they actually gave because they first gave themselves to the Lord. You know, God reminded me so many times that early on, when I was 18, so many times, you know, I felt the call of God come into my life. And I told Jesus when I was about 18, I give you my life. I say yes. The rest of it is details. It's like I signed my life over to Jesus when I was 18. I said, Lord, my answer is yes. To whatever you say. It doesn't matter what you say. My answer is yes. Everything else is details. And that's what the Macedonians were doing. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And that's why giving was just a natural detail out of that. It was because they fully surrendered themselves to God. Giving was a normal thing. It was a natural outflow of their obedience to God. You know, it's like you sign a blank check to God. We don't do that anymore, right? It's like you write out a donation to God. Like, God, I give you my life and whatever else, that's only a detail. It's just a detail. I don't care. You know, friends, I did that when I was 18. And there were a few moments when God was testing that. It's like, did you really mean that? He was testing that. He's been testing that. But I love what the example of the Macedonian churches is telling us. You give because of the joy inside of you. That's generosity. You give out of faith when you step out of your comfort zone. But then you also give, number three was, you also give because it's a privilege. You give out of grace. And here you give out of surrender, out of your full surrender to Jesus. You give because you already said yes. And it's just a detail now. It's just a natural overflow. And you know, here it's not just about the finance. It's not just about the money. It's everything. It's my time. It's my talent. It's my relationships. It's my plans, my vision, my dreams, my energy, my future. I give you all. Now, this morning, I actually discovered the scripture that God really ministered to me with the scripture. It's in the book of Revelation. And we're going to close with this one. In the book of Revelation, you know, in chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, God is giving a message to seven different churches. And one of them is Smyrna. And he says, these are the words to Smyrna. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty. I know your afflictions and your poverty. Yet, you are rich. And I want to say that today over us as the church. You may go through a cycle of poverty. You may go through a history of poverty. But this is how God is looking at you. You are rich. And He wants you to break the poverty mindset. He wants you to break the mentality of never enough. He wants you to break the spirit of just survival. And take the wealth mindset that actually I'm going to serve God out of joy, out of faith, out of grace, and out of a full surrender. And I'm going to break that mindset that maybe in the culture, it may be in the nation, it may be in my own experience, but I'm going to break that. And over this series, I believe that God wants to deal with that spirit, with that mentality, that mindset in your life. And so we're going to pray now. I wonder if we could all stand. Whether we could close our eyes and just tell the Lord today that He's in charge now. He's moving in this place right now. Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us, and we're going to talk about it in another message, that for our sake, He became poor so that we could become rich through Him. And so in Jesus' name right now, I break the power of poverty mindset and poverty spirit in this room, in every family that's represented here, in every person that's represented here, in Jesus' name. And I declare that our God is a God of more than enough. He's a God of overflow. He's a God with good plans. He's a good, good Father. He's a God that has more than enough. He's the God who loves us. And with giving us His Son Jesus, He gave us everything else. I declare that over this room, over every person, every family in this room, in Jesus' name. Doesn't matter if you grew up in this culture, or if you move from a different country across the globe to this country. In Jesus' name, I declare that that the spirit of poverty has no right to be attached to you, and the mentality of poverty, no right in Jesus' name. And just like the Macedonians, we declare that we're going to have a spirit of generosity instead. We're going to have a spirit of abundance and overflow in our lives instead, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, for just a moment, speak to the Lord in your own behalf. Speak to the Lord for yourself and tell Him, Lord, I give You myself, and I'm going to give beyond what my comfort zone is. I'm going to break that mentality in my own life. I'm going to give out of generosity, out of joy. I'm going to give out of faith and out of grace. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on, yes, Lord. He is the provider. He is the Father. He's the Shepherd. He's the one who takes care of you. He's the one who has taken care of you up to this point. And He's a faithful Father. He will never stop doing that. And He's going to bless you so much that out of your testimony, out of your abundance, you're going to become a blessing to many others. I declare that over you in Jesus' name. I declare that over us as the church in Jesus' name. I declare that we will be a resource to many in this nation and beyond. To those that are experiencing suffering or poverty, even in extreme cases, we will become a blessing to them. We will become a resource for the kingdom of God in this city, in this nation, in this part of Europe. In Jesus' name, I declare that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for just a moment before we close, you may be in this place and you may actually be going through an extremely difficult period financially right now. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. But this is a time to just get your breakthrough. This is a time to get your breakthrough. And I'm going to lead you in this confession, in this declaration, with your own mouth. So we're gonna say this as the church, but what we're going to do is we're going to agree with God on this. Amen? Amen? Ready for this, church? We're going to agree with God on this in Jesus' name. And if you need a miracle in this situation, I want to just challenge you to do it with all of your faith, with all of your heart, with all of your expectation right now. So let's make this declaration together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let's say this together, church. In Jesus' name, we renounce the spirit of poverty. The poverty mentality, poverty mindset. And we declare that we are sons and daughters of a mighty King, the one who rules and reigns. That we are sons and daughters in His kingdom. And that there is more than enough for me. There is more than enough for my family. There is more than enough for my future. And I declare that it is the Lord who gives me the power to make wealth. It is His ability. It is His blessing that gives me riches and honor. And I declare this future for my own life. An inheritance for my children. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And remember, generosity is acting in faith, in advance, as if you were wealthy already. It's like it's almost like I felt God say that I'm going to snap something in the spirit. I'm going to snap something in the spirit. It's like you're going to go into your future and already act like you are living out the blessing of God. Amen? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Church, can we give Jesus some praise tonight? Come on, can we give Jesus some praise? Come on, come on. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.